Alright, well, welcome to the April 1st, Fool's Day episode of The Concastador. This is the second episode. And this one, unlike the last one, is there's no video. No video. So you don't have to look at us.
It's a vast improvement.
We were talking about how April Fool's Day has turned into something vastly different online.
It's a mega holiday online.
Yeah, it's kind of geeky.
There's a New York Times link
but cool.
In our show notes that just provides, like, Think Geek has something every year, and this year it was, like, some sort of bracelet that detected buzzwords. Like, low-hanging fruit and, what was the other one? Just other, like, you know, little, you're in the corporate world, buzzy phrases, and would, like, somehow activate with your computer and...
That's great.
That's funny.
They had a USB pet rock too at some point. But we also saw Qualcomm had the Shark Falcon and crocodile eagle. They all fight each other, some weird hybrids. It's in the show notes too, but that's the New York Times thing. It's certainly a different thing now that didn't exist before.
Google had their autopilot thing, which was under the Katy umbrella, and Katy was their artificial intelligent thing project that started
Japanese teenage blog. Panda girl.
Yeah, they spread that across all their properties, including Google Maps. There's an image in the show notes showing the little panda when you drag the Google Maps dude onto the thing, turned into a panda.
Mr. Street View.
That's right, the Street View dude. So what else we got? This air stuff.
Well, yeah, I just think about this lately because the last episode with that, I actually edited FLV files that Uvu made in rich FLV and combined them and cut them down and published them and actually made the MP3s and stuff from them too. But there's a new version of TweetDeck that just came out, or at least you can get. It's not actually the release one yet, that has Facebook support. And it also adds, I don't know when's the last time you used TweetDeck, Paul, but you can actually clear the columns now.
See, I got this thing where I like seeing other applications, and TweetDeck, I mean, I got some big-ass monitors, but TweetDeck tapes up, you know.
I understand what you're saying.
Like, Twitter to me is like this.
That's why you like Twirl, because it's just a little scroller.
Have you checked out Event Box for Mac OS? 10.
It was part
of that Mac Heist bundle, which you should look at because it was like $39 and you get a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I saw the download crew talking about that stuff.
It's really pretty cool.
I need to check it out.
I don't know. I just think Air apps are kind of cool. If that got running on the iPhone, which they won't let happen because Flash doesn't even seem to happen.
Air is totally based on Flash, and I've got some experience making Air apps. I've made custom Air apps. I've done that for both the workplace and just kind of messed around, and it's unbelievably easy to develop for. I mean, I can make Air apps right now.
It definitely has implications for like the future.
Well, and you make an Air app, and it works in Linux, Mac OS, and in Windows.
Right, exactly, and which is the big deal. I mean, you know, it's funny because
it's kind of what Java was supposed to be.
Well, and
it's a proprietary virtual machine,
right? And also just thinking about the big app rage, the big app goldmine is the iPhone, and you know, and that whole area right now.
The mobile app store or whatever just launched like today.
Oh, really?
Today.
Interesting. But you know, and Adobe wants to do the same thing. They want to make an Air application marketplace. And so everybody wants to have an app store. Everybody wants to, you know, give these platform for developers. But what it really comes down to is where can you use the app?
Right. Well, and that kind of goes... Oh, go ahead, Paul.
Go ahead. You got it. No, I was saying
that kind of goes into the Google Documents.
Yeah.
In that we were putting a lot, way too much, and we did this with the last show too, put a lot too much text content in the posts themselves. So we've been using Google Documents now. For the show notes, and then you can actually, you know, we can work on those collaboratively and then publish those later.
Way easier. Great system.
Especially if you're already in the, like, Google world somehow through, you know...
Yeah, if you're already fine with
Google
it.
Sphere.
Right.
Like, in, if you have an email through them, you can get it through your accounts. And
well, I have a little, yeah. I have a little to-do list that I maintain that I have now in Google Document that it's just a table that has like work and my bedroom and here's household things and here's like recipe ideas and I can go to any of my computers on it, go to that document. I can actually view it on the iPhone, but there's no way to edit it right now.
Oh, so it just shows them? It doesn't edit them?
Yeah, but it's still cool. I can still look at the list.
That's pretty cool. Like I could walk with this microphone through my house with my phone.
Right.
And it's a little along.
And it's a little, I mean, I send myself an email right now to get around that, but it would be really nice if it worked on the iPhone. But I don't know, that the whole Google document, that like cloud, for things that you don't mind being there, I don't think is a big issue.
Gotcha.
At least for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it has come a long way. It keeps getting better and better and better all the time.
Right. Well, we just discovered new features today using it.
That's right.
They're adding comments and
yeah,
and they constantly add stuff. That's why these things are beta.
Yeah,
constantly add
it's
things.
Pretty slick too.
They do all the DocX things now for the newest whatever.
You can save in a DocX.
Can you import DocXs too?
Oh, I thought that was a statement. I don't know.
No, that's what I've always wondered because I remember right when Google Docs came out. At work, we had switched to the newest version, and everything was the DocX with the XML stuff, and Google Docs couldn't consume them. I was just wondering if that's changed yet.
Well, I had an issue today that someone had sent me screenshots in a Word document.
Oh my God!
And I couldn't get them. I couldn't copy them. I couldn't even get to the image in the Word document. I had to resave it as a DocX.
Actually,
I could click on it and like copy it and paste it into something.
Or the other way, the other workaround that I use all the time when people do that is save it as HTML, Matt, and it'll save it as a JPEG.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to copy and paste it.
Right.
Copy and paste, that's a good segue into the iPhone.
Yes.
Yeah, so the 3.0 is coming, they announced, and it's what the beta 2 came out to developers like yesterday or today. Which is pushes out, tethering's in it. I mean, these are both features that are in it. They announced multimedia messaging, which is stupid. It hasn't been there from the beginning. And like Josh said, copy and paste, which...
A lot of stuff that should have been there from the beginning, yeah?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, they added Bluetooth stereo support.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Which should have been there in the first place.
Probably right.
It's like all things that should have been there in the first place.
Oh, cool. All right.
Skype just came out for iPhone. Skype, by the way, which is what we're using right now.
What, are either of you using it on your iPhone?
I haven't yet. I have the app. I haven't used it yet.
Okay.
I played with it. I called, I think, myself.
We need to try to figure out a way to do a show from iPhones.
Is your phone handy, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to Skype.
You can't call it because it's like me.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? It's like my... I'm logged in on Skype already.
Right.
Oh, damn.
Right, you're both already in a call, dude.
You win this time, Skype.
We need to get, like, different IDs.
Yeah, that's too complicated. So, iPhone apps are really cool. I found that out whenever I was in Chicago and La Crosse and Milwaukee in the state of Wisconsin. And
they're great for traveling.
Yes, very good for traveling. Great. GPS, you can like watch yourself going down the road, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I used it when my parents came out to visit for like a week, and we were trying to look for a place that I could eat and they could eat, and we were just driving to a place, and I saw a Chinese place, and I was like, here, wait a second, let me run this app right here. Boom. Oh yeah, there's like six places around here. We should stop here.
Yeah. Maggie and I found a bomb ass, like in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, a bomb ass Mexican place. I had like spinach, shrimp, and green onion fajita.
That is great.
Yeah, I paid for this app called Veg Out that just shows vegetarian restaurants.
Oh, nice.
So that app is obviously very good. Google Maps, the Skype app that just came out that we just talked about, I would bet is probably cool, and we could use it if we weren't already using Skype, logged into Skype. Right. Some of the programs that I'm into are Huffington Post, which should have been an app from the beginning. Urban Spoon, which is kind of cliche, but it's really useful. Yelp is kind of a lot like Urban
Spoon. Same thing, right?
I've got a whole bunch of them.
They have other stuff, though.
Four or five different.
There's like a Yellow Pages one, too.
You should really not have a problem finding a place to eat on the iPhone.
No, not at all. Flingo.
You better not have a problem.
Unless you don't have any service at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Flingo,
I played with that a little bit. It's like a whole bunch of voice activated things, right? Yeah,
voice activated, like Facebook status or Twitter, tweet. You can do text, I think. I mean, you can voice activated text messaging, maybe, or
it actually does text to or voice to text.
Yeah, yeah. You can just save the text. Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
Post to Twitter or post to Facebook the text of what you said.
Twitter phone, we may have talked about that in the last one. Matt was talking about it, and I use it a lot.
Yeah, that's the only one I use on the iPhone.
Twitter pimps the another one, though. Like, they talk about it. I don't think that's what it was.
Twitter later?
No.
There's too many of them.
I know. It's just interesting which ones they endorse, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I wonder why.
I don't know. Maybe it's advertising, sort of. Because, I mean, it would if they were like, hey, give us money, we are the reason you are a product. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of funny how I feel like I've turned into an Apple person. So I've got this iPhone, and I finally bought one of the Airport Express wireless deals, like you have, Paul. And right. I've got it hooked up downstairs, wired into my stereo, and then running out optical into the stereo. And with this app, Airfoil, which you can get for Windows and the Mac, any audio device, any audio app, within not just iTunes can use them as remote speakers.
You turned me on to Airfoil a while ago when I was trying to get my little Airport Express working, and mine still just drops out all the time, and I don't know if it's network strength or what's going on there, but it never seems to last.
I've had some issues. I can't tell, you know, I didn't isolate well enough. Whether it was an Airfoil issue or whether it was... I haven't had so much trouble just directly connecting directly through iTunes.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's Airfoil or just my network setup or what.
Right.
I haven't tried to tweak or anything either. It's just I stuck it in one place downstairs.
Yeah, it's really neat stuff, though. I'm probably, you know, being a homeowner, I'm actually going to start going for wiring speakers in hidden places all over my house.
That's pretty cool.
And running all the wire through the ceiling in the attic, because I can get there very easily. So
yeah, you got a big attic, luckily.
Yeah, I'm kind of psyched about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's one of the only things about flat screen TVs and speakers. Satellite speakers, they look really cool, but wires are always an issue.
You should look into something that you can, or at least try to think about running a network something at the same time, or finding something to use for both.
Well, I mean, mostly I'm looking at stuff like, you know, the bathroom and the kitchen, which I'm
cool
with wireless and all that for all those places. So that it really does come down to needing the wired audio network in my house just for peace of mind and listening to the same music all over the place and not different music in every room, which kind of drives me crazy.
Well, that's the cool thing about how I can play my music up here and walk down into the kitchen. And
isn't that nice? That's exactly what I'm saying. It's like, it's such a simple little pleasure, but that is a really nice...
It's actually a sync too.
It's a really nice little thing to have going on.
And I do that with Lala, where I play through the Express.
Yeah, and speaking of having stuff go on in other rooms when you walk into them, what's this deal with Marco Polo? You were telling me about it earlier.
I played with it a little bit. It's a macOS application that lets you... It's context awareness, so basically a whole bunch of different things about your machine, be it what network you're connected to or what Wi-Fi spots are around you or what Bluetooth devices are around or what hard drives or what external USB devices are connected.
And by
based
you
on all those things. So go ahead, Paul.
So this is identifying you by your devices, right?
Yeah, based on those things, it can then do things like map drives or launch applications or, I don't know, just do things. It's kind of like Quicksilver in that, I don't know, do you have Quicksilver installed in OS X?
I had it for a while. I don't think I do anymore.
You should reinstall it. It's so much faster than finding applications actually looking through your apps or
right.
Just type the first few letters of it and it's there.
I thought I had it. No, it didn't look like it do. Okay, yeah, I need to get that again.
You should reinstall that. But I don't know. I use Marco Polo right now. The only thing I have it set up to do is to determine when I'm wired home. So it's on my wired network and I'm home. You can even do power settings and stuff too.
Right.
And then what it does is it'll set it to where when it logs in and it sees that situation, it maps my network drives. But
yeah, so I could maybe set it up so that like when I brought my laptop home, it would connect all my network drives here.
Right. And when you went to work, it would know your work and change your network settings if it needed
right.
to.
Right.
And turn your firewall off or if on or whatever, things like that.
That's pretty cool.
Change your VPN settings or do all that stuff, you know?
I need the app that tells me to get off the couch and get in bed, but I still don't know what that one's called.
Yeah, I need the app that tells me get a couch so you can sit on it. Put it in your room.
That's
I end up sitting on my chair that I bought. IKEA chair.
Oh, an IKEA chair. Okay.
No, so, it's like my most expensive chair I've ever bought. That's how nice. Cheap I am.
What's up with the Sony thing?
I read this and it says so much about why they don't have an online community the way the 360, like the Xbox Marketplace does. But they're charging developers. So let's say I'm gonna run a demo.
If they could market, making bad decisions and make money from it, they'd be fucking rich.
Yeah, Sony would make $1 trillion. They still don't understand like why a $400 and $500 console isn't selling very well.
What? What do you mean? What?
Oh man!
But you can get down the cut down Xbox for what, like $200 now or something. Get a refurb one for like $170, $150.
I've got, I don't know about you guys, but I can't walk down the street without tripping over a memory stick.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
I have it for my PSP, and I'm on the brink of getting rid of that.
Fucking,
there was this cool app that came out recently that you run and your PSP shows, it's a screen in Windows, like a display in Windows.
Their cameras have them, right? Sony cameras?
Everything they make,
That's stupid.
Yeah, they should have. They should have mini discs. All the formats should be mini discs.
Right.
But what Sony is doing is Sony is charging the developers for the bandwidth. Like
what?
For those apps.
Nice.
When they came out, or like in any case. So if you're selling anything,
right.
Anything at all. It just kills it. Like it can, and at some gigantic rate, it can kill the game.
Oh,
where Xbox, that's part of it because that's the Xbox like silver or gold experience or whatever pass you buy for a year. You pay $50 a year, but that goes into infrastructure and not charging the developers for the bandwidth, so you can put some cool little game up.
Right.
Not where you have to worry about how big it is. So even at like. Add-ins for games that they could do, like add-on content, or you give away from free. People don't want to do it for the PS3 because it cost them money to do it.
That's crazy. That is ridiculous. I can't imagine that that kills any small studio.
Probably. I saw a game that they had some sort of big innovation because they found some crazy custom algorithm to compress all their figures. So that they could make it affordable for them to have it be on the PS3, I think, is what.
Jeez. Wow.
It was also on the 360, but I think they did. Yeah, they just don't understand the live thing, the online thing at all.
Yeah.
They really don't. It's like such an add-on to it. They were so much about building this hardware without thinking about software or anything.
That's very Sony. I mean,
yeah, they run before they totally run before they can walk.
Yeah. And then come in and slowly change everything. to like make it what it should have been in the first place, like two or three years after the fact.
Yeah. Remember when Sega had the that big optical drive that you could add on to it?
What? I don't remember that at all.
Yes, Sega CD. Oh, it was terrible.
There was Sega CD, and then there was the 32X add-in.
It was so terrible.
And then there were also Sega CD 32X games that you had to have both to play.
Both! Ah, right, exactly. It's like
you had to have the original Sega, the 32X plug-in thing, which is a bunch of money, and then the disk drive thing, which is a bunch of money to hook all together.
Yeah, and yeah, I think you're probably spending like $700 or something like that.
It was
that.
Pretty crazy how smart they were about that stuff, though, because the problems weren't...
They're just keeping that thing alive.
Oh, yeah.
On live support for years and years and years.
Making money off of it.
Yep.
That was pretty smart to add, like, an overdrive thing that you could plug in. That's...
Well, but, you know, that's what I was a TI-99 guy, and they did the same stuff to that. You know, the speech synthesizer, you know, you just...
Well,
you just,
I understand consoles don't usually do that.
Same idea, though, you know.
Yeah.
How many little turbo boosts can you add on before the thing finally dies?
Right.
But Sony again is dumb. I don't know. I saw this thing. I saw this thing in the last week. It's this. It was a. You know how much like those little digital picture frames used to be.
Yeah.
I saw for $50. It's a 7-inch widescreen, plays DivX files, like AVI files.
That's kind of cool.
And pictures and stuff. You're like, what? It's like, yeah, you don't need that mobile DVD player for your kids anymore. Just take this 7-inch picture frame around.
And see, man, that's where the iPhone's missing out. Like, that's where it's that huge chunk of, like, hey, play video. Like, play video.
Yeah.
Can you play video?
You just click on iPod.
Oh, and you play video through the iPod.
An iPod has, you go to videos.
I see. I don't really watch video on it anyway, but
I have a little bit.
I watch the YouTubes.
I don't really do that at all.
I do. I think it's cool. YouTube surf.
Yeah. I usually typically get linked to YouTube on it.
Well, speaking of YouTube, I have gone from using YouTube for all my video stuff to Vimeo because Vimeo had higher quality video. Back to Flickr because Flickr started doing HD. Because I got an HD camera, and now back to YouTube, because YouTube doesn't have the limits that
right.
does, even for pro people, and that Vimeo does, unless you buy some crazy package from Vimeo. So yeah, they do. YouTube's doing HD video stuff now, so I can just upload the HD files from my camera.
Yeah, it's
cool.
It's going to be a quality game, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But right now, it's not about, well, it's quality to some extent, but it's, versus, some people are just doing different amounts.
Quality versus duration, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Flickr's whole thing is they're not about gigantic.
Yeah.
But I have HD clips from the hot air balloon when my parents were in town and we were in Napa.
Oh, I need to look at that stuff. Sure.
There's like a high quality in Facebook now, too, I noticed.
Video?
Yeah, where you can... Because I uploaded a video, and...
Well, YouTube added that, and they've added HD now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody's doing it. It's about a disk space and bandwidth, you know?
Right,
codecs working out, and people having the right codec. But also talking about online stuff, I've been playing with Evernote and Dropbox, and we used Drop.io for the site, to exchange video files for the last one, but... I don't know. Evernote's really cool because it has the app on the iPhone, and you can take photos and stuff and annotate it and do voices and text messages, and it has that sync to your account and push it out to your other machines. And Dropbox is... Go ahead, Paul. Sorry.
I was going to say my favorite thing about Dropbox, honestly, Matt, is just giving you random media that I think you might get.
Yeah, I haven't even looked in that folder. I should... You
know, like, here's my box of for shit. Throw it in there.
Well, Josh, you were over here that night when we were watching those DMC DJ battles.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, every year from the 8, it has every year the DMC mixing championships. And I was like, I bet Matt would dig this. So I just threw it in his Drop.io and uploaded it.
Yeah, how does that work? Is that in yours that's shared with me?
No, I did. Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't Drop.io. I'm sorry. I did it in, actually, I...
No, you're saying Dropbox.
I did it in Dropbox. Or no, I did it in Drop.io, dude. I did it in Drop.io.
Oh, you did it in Drop.io.
Yeah, back in the day. I don't know if you ever grabbed it down or not.
Oh.
But I put it back in.
Check
I
out.
Put it up. I put it up in there a while ago.
Okay. Well, but you can do that sort of thing with Dropbox too.
Yep, same thing with Dropbox. So if you don't have it, let me know and I'll give it to you again.
Cool. One of the things I've been using it for right now is documents I'm working on for work get pushed to my Mac and sit on a folder there, you know.
Right.
And
right.
It's not an official work application, so I'm going to have to throw it on thumb drive or something, but to get it to the work machine. But it'd be really nice if I could just have it on the work machine and they show up there too.
Yeah, I just little temp places to put files online are like my favorite thing in the world. We have one for there's a one that exists for work that I use all the time, and I just
giant scratch drive.
Dig it. Yeah, exactly. It's like
I use those, you know, giant scratch drives.
Yeah,
like, you know, a whole bunch of spring of space to copy something from one place to another.
Right, and it's like that's better to me. That's better than a thumb drive.
Yeah,
because I don't lose the thumb drive that way.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know which Evernote's expensive in that it's 500 megabytes for $5 a month.
Right.
But it's upload. So I uploaded a whole bunch of PDFs, like, and they only support things up to 25 megabytes. So if you have stuff bigger than that, they won't keep it. But they do JPEGs and audio and stuff as well. But I don't know. Dropbox is, I think, pretty cool. I wish there was some more iPhone-y sort of ways to manage files and edit files.
Yeah. That'll be coming, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's kind of not what they're trying to do, though. They were trying to be backup and synchronization, you know, across multiple machines, across platforms.
Right.
But I don't know. Yeah. It's they're cool. They're all cool in their own little right. That's why they all exist.
Yeah, right.
That's what we're talking about. They have to figure out. I don't know. I don't think all these places can exist forever. But and then tomorrow I got a thing from Revision 3. It's doing live Techzilla show at the Web 2.0 Expo. It's O'Reilly sponsored event.
Right. One of the perks of being where you're at.
Yeah, I was just like, you know, I got a Twitter today that was from Revision 3 that was like, hey, you guys want to come and watch the show? And you get into the hall. I mean, you don't get to go to the the little seminars or whatever, but you can go to. There's some. Like keynote speeches and booths and whatever you can go to for free. And it's
I just saw a tweet where Veronica Belmont just finished giving her little talk at that event.
Yeah, it's been people have been talking about it much today.
There's
all over. I wish I'd known about it earlier. I would have.
All kinds of stuff. It's all over the place. Actually, it looks like on the Twitter, a couple hashtags going a W2E1 and
W2E1.
A few others. Yeah. Yep.
And it's just cool to be able to go to some of that stuff.
Absolutely. Oh, I mean, I had a ball when I was out there just for that little bit. I'm sure just living around it all the time has got to be pretty darn exhilarating.
Well, it'd be fun to actually go to something. I haven't been to any sort of events or anything.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to have an opportunity to do this. They don't do those events in Bloomington very often.
That is true.
So in recent newses across the lands, the new world of marijuana legalization. Will the economy make it happen? Will things get so bad that Americans are like, hey, this is a way to generate money? That remains to be seen greatly. But in the new AG, the new Attorney General Eric Holder said something to the effect of, we're not going to waste all these resources going after people who aren't breaking federal and state laws, which would exclude a good deal of the pockets of California, or there are statewide laws, right, Matt?
There are state laws. The state laws are a lot different than the local, county, and city laws.
Not to mention like the national federal laws.
The numbers, like on the state level, are far far less than the numbers. As far as like if you have a medical card, what you can personally go for your own consumption.
Right.
Like the state numbers, I'm not sure on this, but it's, I don't know, it's maybe 6 or 12 plans or something. But like I think Oakland, it's like, I don't know, like, so some of them it gets up to 100, and then like Berkeley, you can technically do whatever you want.
That's crazy.
Like in the city, Berkeley specifically, it's just supposed to be like marijuana is legal zone. But then Oakland has the other weird thing, the Proposition Z that went through recently, that makes it to where it's the lowest priority of enforcement for the police. So it effectively decriminalizes it.
Well, and that's sort of that's sort of a vibe that you got from Holder's announcement, but it looks like they didn't stop the DEA from a bust in San Francisco.
Yeah, this is like a week or so at least after the Attorney General announcement. I don't know. It's just, it makes you wonder. Like,
what do they mean by that?
It's like, is everybody in sync too? You know,
you see a news piece out here every once in a while about some rogue DEA agent that went into some place on his own.
Huh?
That's weird.
He's like
without any real authority above him.
He's a real American.
Hang on, everybody, I'm going rogue.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's really interesting to.
Obama did get a funny question about marijuana. It was saying something to the effect of, "Yeah, what we talked about that fundraiser, basically like a lottery 2.0."
It's a national baked sale.
And what was the other question he was asked at the town hall?
There was one question that voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. He said, "I don't know what this says about the online audience, but this is a popular question. We want to make sure it's answered. The answer is no. I don't think it's a good strategy to grow our economy." All right. That was it.
Yeah, I don't think it's just the online community, except
I don't think it is either.
I think maybe it's a little more verbal. If you like look at what is on Dig, like what stories make it to Dig, there's a lot of marijuana related stories on Dig.
So there's this new sport that's better than like any other sport, and it's like, hey, Wall Street class, the like car manufacturing class is pissed off at you because you're getting all this money and people aren't replacing your CEOs. What the fuck? Like, they're so pissed off. First of all, I would like to say they're completely different. They're not the same thing. Just because they're both huge, you know, chunks of our economy or whatever, they serve completely different functions.
Yeah, well, one's a fictitious money-moving scheme.
Yeah.
And the other manufactures goods.
Right, right. So to compare them, like, I mean, just to say, like, tit for tat is to misunderstand what they really are. You know,
well,
what I mean?
Actually, though, to me, this is when corporations, and especially CEOs, act like what they really are, which is children. Well, and they're basically, you're giving this to them, but not to me, and it's like. And
that's not how it works.
That's exactly right. To your point, Josh, that is exactly right. These are such different things that it is literally, dumbing down the problem here.
Furthermore, the auto industry and all of its ramifications, its suppliers, the whole big long food chain, is all up in Wall Street. That's what that part I don't get. They're ripping on a part of their own like viability.
How part of this works too is that like this money went into going to these banks and insurance companies. Well, those are mainly in certain states.
Right.
So now there's these bailouts that are mainly in other certain states, you know.
Yeah.
Like you're talking what Michigan and Ohio and, you know.
Well, and this is why, you know, it's like these Republican governors that we're talking about turning down bailout money just suddenly becomes this thing. And it's, you know, I'm sorry. Everybody will be going for their piece of the big bailout.
Yeah, it's like join us now or join us later.
Exactly.
later.
Right. You better get it while you can. But, I think that the big thing is that there will be a reality, and some of these car companies that we have been around our entire lives will be going away.
Investment firms have gone away. That shit's getting watered down.
Well, it doesn't make sense to put all this more money into a company that was so messed up that they lost a whole bunch of money.
I agree, but the difference, honestly, really quick with the banks is those have not been major players our entire lives. You know what I'm saying? Like, the difference to me is the auto thing is truly an end of an era.
Yeah.
To whereas the banking thing, Goldman Sachs now, even today as an investment bank, didn't really exist in the same form 10 years ago, even. Yeah. As it does now. It legally couldn't.
Well, they both did the same thing, though. They both did the same exact thing, and they got to their demise the same exact way. And that is this. They put all of their chips in some one certain money-making scheme with the fucking auto industry. It was SUVs. With all the banks, it was like these credit default swaps and all this hocus-pocus bullshit economics.
You are absolutely
and
right.
And they all did it until it couldn't be done anymore, and then it all collapsed because they didn't have anything else. They had no diversification at all.
And nobody's helping your average guy. I'd have made a bad decision financially.
No, of course not.
Right.
It's like, oh man, I got this house that I can't afford now, and I really haven't collapsed it yet. What about that guy?
Because corporations seem to only cherry pick the good parts of being a like individual as the rules apply to them. You know, for any sort of money, anything, how they can just hide behind that, like they act like a person as an entity. But
a person can't. It comes down to being accountable.
Yeah, but a person.
It's like, no, it's a whole bunch of people.
A person certainly can't act like a corporation. Now, can they? Not at all.
Dude, this is so fundamentally how I feel. I really do have a problem with this corporations being able to have it both ways. And yes, I can be a person, and I can be this huge entity that needs billions of dollars of bailout money, and we're so special that we can do anything. It's like corporations have a ultra privileged place legally, unfortunately, in our society, and I really think it's a problem.
Especially that corporation for public broadcasting.
They suck.
Those guys.
Especially that Cookie Monster. That dude.
He's sometimes Cookie Monster now.
Yeah.
You gotta eat vegetables. Cookies are sometimes food.
Well, it's like the thing I always say with like with contract law. You know, one of the main pillars of contract law is like clarity and understanding terms, and it's rotted into this thing where it's like, who could be the most confusing? And okay, the same thing happens with capitalism. One of the main pillars of the whole idea is fairness, and we're so far removed from that. That it's just this crazy abstract, like fucked up, like, you know, horror house mirror of what it should be or something.
I don't think there's any fairness built into capitalism.
It's a fundamental principle of it, though. Like, you have to you have to know what each thing is worth. It has to be like understood. You know what I mean? And that's not like
absolutely.
That's starting. All right. That concept is starting to fall apart now.
Well, and I was thinking about
like
this
it has
the other
to be
day,
transparent.
We have a currency based on magic.
yeah, right. Totally.
Right.
It's like, what's the eight ball going to say today?
Speaking of, and when you were talking about clarity, I started laughing because clarity and all that. Glenn Beck is probably about the most confusing person I have ever witnessed.
I hate that guy.
And not by confusing, it's like I'm not trying to really. What am I trying to say? I'm not really trying to get on any specific level with him, and like really, you know.
He's kind of like that wrestler Ric Flair or something.
I just kind of what is he thinking? Is I guess really where I'm going.
He's trying to be a caricature of Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, only a Mormon one.
Like a girl too. Well,
but my reaction
really emotional.
You have to really watch this Colbert thing because it is probably the most beautiful evisceration I could ever dream up of Glenn Beck.
And a typical SmackDown.
I think I have dreamed it probably a few times already in the last few weeks.
What does that mean about you? You're dreaming about Glenn Beck?
No. The evisceration part is what I was dreaming. But anyway, it's very, very well done. And he raises the point that I was just, before I even knew about the clip that they play that's in this, I was just sort of thinking, it's like, this guy is basing this whole thing, this 9/12 project, on taking us back to the day after 9/11. And I'm thinking, okay, there's easily, probably a good several tens of thousands of people that have lost loved ones on that day.
And you're literally saying,
You're literally saying, let's go back to the day when your loved one's the day
that's
after your loved
one's ideal day.
Right. It's which just blows me away. This is another thing where I think we were talking about this, or maybe we were talking about this before we started rolling, but recording. It's the difference of where the minority party, the role they play.
Right, right.
If this was said by any Democrat or liberal, can you imagine the blowback?
Yeah, totally.
I mean,
it wouldn't be said though because it's stupid.
He's just like, such a schmuck that it's not even worth responding to him except for Colbert's response.
Yeah. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And this is why we need our good comedy shows like that.
Yeah. And we're talking about how comedy has always sort of played that role where they could poke fun at, they could be honest through joke, and Comedy Central's really pulling their weight in that department right now, where it almost breaks down to like some weird, absurd, actual journalism.
Yeah. Oh, like absolutely.
By default, I mean,
that's
by proxy.
It's great. I like it. I really like it.
Like they force social, they force viewpoints of social, like, yeah, just how things really are. Because inherently reporters can't say some shit. They just can't. Those are the rules, I guess.
Like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
the thing the president said is complete bullshit.
Or like Colbert, calling Beck for building his, basing his career off of 9/11. You know,
Saturday Night Live certainly did a fair amount of that too. And speaking of Saturday Night Live, one of their former cast members could be a senator.
He is.
Yeah, he basically is. It gave
throw in the towel.
It got real hard for Coleman today because his appeal was denied. So basically, he's pretty much, as far as I can tell, getting all the votes he can get. Franken's still up by over 200 votes.
That's so few votes, though.
That's very few votes, and that's probably why they've taken, what has it been, like 20 weeks or something?
To figure it out.
Yeah.
The leftover uncounted is something right. Only like 400 votes, isn't it, left? That were up for dispute or that were ruled that could be counted?
Maybe, so
You got to figure he's up by 250.
There's no way that he could come back. Like it'd have to be crazy skewed.
It has to be 100% Coleman votes kind of thing.
Right. So, I think Franken's going to be, it'll be interesting to see how much, I mean, I saw stuff a while back about how Coleman might be want to take the RNC chair or something. I don't know if there's anything to do with, if there's anything going on there really, but yeah, I'll go ahead and say that Franken will be the 59th almost filibuster proof senator of the Senate. We'll see.
Are you just saying he's filibuster proof?
He could be. He could be. He could make the Senate almost filibuster proof. It's pretty close.
Real close. Yeah, real close. I do wonder if Coleman wanted to do the RNC chair. If it would be like a 3-way rap battle with him and Colbert, him and Colbert and Steele, I guess.
Oh, dude.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome. Steele got kicked out of college. Anyway, some music. I can't stop listening to this Fever A album. It's so freaking good. Paul?
I have not heard it yet, but I'm looking at it on my desk, and we'll be doing so soon.
Yeah, I left my copy at Paul's house last night, or the other night. Last night? Was it last night?
Yes.
Last night.
She's
one half of The Knife from Sweden, who make electronic pop music. They sort of started out dancier, but this is kind of like a dark pop album. It's way slower. I kind of liken it to Bjork. I mean, I think she's that good. I don't use that comparison lightly in any way, shape, or form.
That's cool.
But yeah, it's like, it's really cool. I can't get enough of it. And Paul Twittered or otherwise communicated to me digitally a bunch of really cool, completely time-wasting, cracking out websites about that have just little flash musical things you can do.
It's all about the synth now that's built into Flash.
Is it pretty cool?
it's amazing. That's built into Flash Player. Like in old school Flash, you know, I always, as a music guy, I wanted it was like, well, cool. Can I make a spectrum analyzer in it? No, you couldn't. You can do all that stuff and way more now. There is totally a multi-harmonic, multi-voice,
that's awesome,
really sophisticated synthesizer built into Flash Player now. And these things, like that guitar one.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I know.
So can you build yourself a bunch of little Air apps that run on a netbook that you use with your turntable?
You can make a whole band easily.
That'd be pretty cool. You know, I'm just saying, you personally could be able to build your own little Air app.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I haven't sat down and messed with it. The Hobnox one, if you just click that link and check that thing out, seriously, this is like, if I'd seen this back when, you know.
It's pretty ill, like...
It's like everything that comes in Reason or something. Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah.
So people just put this up and don't charge for it? Can you
You can just fiddle with it. Like, it is the app. It's like, here it is. Here's the thing.
So cool.
Check out this thing.
Yeah. Record it.
Yeah.
We don't care. Yeah.
Make noise with this thing that you can make noise with.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
So what was the final verdict on this Mixmaster mic stuff?
That I think they've talked to like a whole bunch of different people about. There's
Scratch Hero.
Someone's developing some sort of DJ Hero, answer to Guitar Hero game.
Well, check the link that I added there. It's Shadow and Z-Trip. They're going to be the main dudes, according to Daily Swarm, and which is probably where it needed to end up, honestly. Those are the guys with the most exposure that... they can really, that along with Mixmaster Mike, it's kind of good that Tiesto is not really involved. I don't know how much Dutch Trance is going to be like blowing this up. I mean, maybe a little bit in, you know, I don't know, over in Europe. But
well, the other source was, and maybe it's a different title, maybe that's the actual issue.
Yeah, and this actually the update that on Daily Swarm says that they have confirmed that Mixmaster Mike is not attached to DJ Hero, as our commenters have pointed out. Mike is involved with Seven Studios and Genius Productions involved in developing Scratch, the ultimate DJ, which will be released this summer.
Right, that's what that article I said. They're two different games.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so there's two different Scratchy games. A Mixmaster Mike Scratchy game.
Right.
Shadow and Z-Tip Scratchy game.
And speaking of the Scratchamifications, that's like old, like a few decades old now.
Yeah, it's getting to be where, you know, as culture moves on, everything is cool. Whatever happened 20 years ago comes around, goes around, all that stuff. But we're really getting to the point now where it's like good stuff is coming back around, at least stuff that I'm getting old enough to... at least have a lot of perspective on the Soul to Soul thing, especially to me, like that was sort of a
I remember Soul to Soul
genre defining moment in a lot of ways, and that track in particular was really the first time I think the quote unquote Soul to Soul beat had ever been heard. And for anybody that is familiar with, you know, everything that happened afterwards, including Suzanne Vega remix of her track that used the same kind of beat, Enigma came out after that, there's probably, you know, easily a dozen pop songs after that that use the exact same beat. And when you do something like that, that's pretty powerful. But you can still go back to that record and listen to it now and it sounds pretty darn amazing. Fight the Power is the other one. I think that just in general, Fight the Power, and I think, yeah, they passed Bring the Noise being 20 years old.
Well, did you see the performance with the Roots?
Yeah, dude.
Yes, absolutely.
I watched that, we should link that. I watched that at Paul's.
I think I watched that live in HD because I don't have an HD recorder.
It was pretty cool.
But
the mix sounded really good for how much shit they were doing.
It was amazing, actually. The Fight the Power, of course, was part of Do the Right Thing, which the Obamas said was their first date, was going to see that movie the summer of 89.
It seems kind of funny.
Yeah. I think it's great. So P.E. is part of the first family in a way. Yeah, Grandmaster Flash album, which I've been actually very leery of to be quite honest.
Did you listen to it?
I've heard I'd heard previews of it on his website for a while, and I think it's
I liked it. I bought it.
It's cool. I don't know, in a way to me it sort of sounds a little how should I put this? I support him, and I'll buy it because I love Grandmaster Flash. Let's put it this way. I will absolutely buy that record. There's no question in my mind. But it's kind of like later Run DMC, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
It's not their best work. And yeah. It's him mostly sounding like the artists that are guesting on the record is when it comes down to me. And no disrespect whatsoever. The man's a legend. So,
it's an entertaining record.
Exactly, it is an entertaining record. I will give you that. I will definitely give you that. And there was another just the Jimmy Kimmel link for the PE performance.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yep, that was on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Jimmy Fallon?
Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Jimmy Fallon.
Thank He's the you. One that has the roots as a Bracken band.
Yes.
The That's roots.
He was on Jimmy Kimmel a couple of years ago doing Gotta Give the or whatever, that Harder Than You Think. Yeah, this thing will add up. But yeah, join us again for another Concastador.
Yeah, so thanks.
For listening.